I'm going to be talking about overcoming depression. And unfortunately, it is quite alarming how many people are suffering from depression today. And the good news is, there is a way out. In my previous lecture, I talked about the two parts of the brain, which I have still illustrated here, which is one is the limbic system, that's the limbic system, or often called the emotional brain, because that's where our emotions lie. And in the front part of the brain is it's called our prefrontal cortex. This is where our intellect, reason and judgment lie. And the final function of the frontal lobe, which is the will. And the will being the governing power and the nature of man. It is the power of decision or of choice. So what happens when someone suffers from depression? Now, it is not unusual if someone were feeling very sad, even, you know, called depressed, if a tragedy happens. But we human beings, we have been made to be able to cope with tragedy. I guess what the clinical definition of depression is, a person is feeling very down and very sad when there is no apparent reason. No apparent reason. And what often happens when someone feels that way, then the limbic system comes in and it becomes quite big. And the person starts to feel like life is hopeless and they start to wonder why they feel so bad. And often when the feelings begin to get very strong like that, the person doesn't really care if they drink enough water. They don't care if coffee is going to hurt them, they will just take it anyway. And little by little, these eight laws of health start to fall down. And that can compound the whole situation. God designed the brain so that our feelings and our thoughts, they thread through the prefrontal cortex. But when the prefrontal cortex goes down, then basically this limbic system hasn't got a guide or hasn't got a sieve, or the board of critiques are not there. The Bible says in Proverbs, 7 verse 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And those thoughts and feelings can get out of control and that can spiral down into a very difficult place, even to a place where a person may start to feel like there is no point living anymore. This morning I cast the curtain aside when I showed you that God communicates with us through the intellect, reason and judgment, whereas the adversary of souls, the devil, he tempts us through our limbic system, through our emotional brain. So knowing that when our prefrontal cortex goes down, the voice of God gets quieter and quieter and quieter, and the voice of our adversary, the devil, gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and that can leave someone in a very difficult place. There are a few other factors that are coming in, and the other factors are a hormonal imbalance. In 1957, the first contraceptive pill was introduced to women. The 1960s is called the sexual revolution. Women wanted to be intimate but not have babies. And so the contraceptive pill was introduced. But what was never realized is the effect of that contraceptive pill on the emotions of the woman. What we've got now is we've got second and almost third generation being affected by the pill. The women that were on the pill, they're called the baby boomers, so they're probably in their 60s now. And so their children are in their 30s, 40s now. And so a 40-year-old, now they can have a 15-year-old child. Can you see I'm saying three generations? So how did the pill do this? The pill caused a rise in a hormone called estrogen, which caused an automatic drop in another hormone called progesterone. Progesterone's nickname is happy hormone. So when that hormone gets displaced, can you see that lady has not the happy hormone that she desires, not the happy hormone that will certainly help with the feelings of hopelessness. I've seen many women especially women, conquer their depression by implementing those eight laws, which automatically sparks up the prefrontal cortex, which means that the decisions are now better in making, and are beginning to apply that yam cream, boosting happy hormone. Can you see how this all comes together? And then little by little, able to ease off their antidepressants. Sometimes in 6 months and sometimes within a year, I find these people, again particularly women, are able to conquer their depression. Because unfortunately, when depression is treated with medication, that medication can make a person feel quite good at first, but often after a year or two, it's not doing the same thing. You see, we have an amazing body with an incredible capacity to adapt and adjust. And then sometimes that's good. I have just come from Australia, 40 degrees. That's hot. This is Celsius. Well, I have effectively adapted to the snow. Yes, some good clothes help. So we have an incredible ability to adapt and adjust. And sometimes this is good. And sometimes this is not good. The body can adapt and adjust to situations that are not good. And so when a lady applies the yam cream and boosts her progesterone, it actually changes that adaptation process, so now the happy hormone is restored. But sometimes it's not the hormones. That's why it's, when you talk about depression, it's not just one thing. I have a dent in my cheek because I crashed on the bridge real easy. Dent in cheek because I crashed on the bridge. But it's really that easy. It is really that easy. What they're finding now is dirty electricity, artificial electromagnetic field. Wherever this is happening in communities, the depression rate is rising. And as I mentioned before, on top of that, the person doesn't feel like drinking all the water. They just grab for what is easy. This has gone down, so the emotional brain goes up, up, up. And so you get this compounding situation. There are a few factors that come together that can cause depression. But one of the first things I do when someone comes to me for help to conquer their depression, the first thing I do is we go straight to these eight laws. In page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, the author states that these laws are the true remedies, whether it is arthritis, whether it is osteoporosis, whether it is heart disease, whether it is diabetes, whether it is depression, or whether it is panic attacks. They are the remedies. A lot of people are challenged by this. How could it be that simple? So the first place you go is make sure you're breathing in fresh air. It'll give each brain cell 18 times more energy and it'll work a lot better. Make sure the sunshine's coming in because the ultraviolet rays go through neurochemical pathways, hit the pineal gland and cause a release of serotonin, your mood hormone. Temperance, don't take anything into the body that will harm it. All of these things can contribute to depression. Sugar and wheat cause a fuel imbalance in the brain. Caffeine causes a chemical imbalance in the brain. What is depression? A chemical imbalance in the brain. Why is there any imbalance? So all of these things must stop. If it's too painful to stop the caffeine straight away, ease off it. It'll be less painful. Go to bed early. Dr. Matthew Walker stated that after 10 nights of 6 hours sleep a night, double the risk of depression. See, when we sleep for 8 hours, ideally, you've got a choice, three choices. It can be 8 p.m. and 4 a.m., or it can be 9 p.m. and 5 a.m., or it can be 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., but sorry, no later than that because you're going to miss out on a whole lot of good things. Not negotiable. 8 hours sleep a night. It causes the brain to clean house. It causes your short-term memory to go to the long-term memory. It causes a filing system. This is where your inventions happen. Or because you have 8 hours sleep a night. What do they say on it if at night you can't work it out? Sleep on it. They never say wake on it. Sleep on it. Sleep on it. Exercise. Dr. Neil Nedley, in his book Depression, A Way Out, he puts people on 7 hours exercise a day that are severely depressed, bipolar, schizophrenia. Because what that exercise does, it pumps those brain cells full of oxygen, and then those brain cells are starting to work better. I have met 2 people who got depression 6 months after moving into a mouldy house. Who would ever think that their mouldy house is causing them to be depressed? Because when they're breathing in mouldy air, they're getting less oxygen. Less oxygen to the brain cell. I appreciated the prayers for the people with flu. I'm just getting over it. So bear with me. More oxygen, more energy in each brain cell. Proper diet. When we're eating a food program that is high in fiber, generous proteins in your legumes, nuts and seed, healthy fats. Did you know that the brain is the fattiest organ in the body and a fat-free diet can contribute to depression? That's a bit scary, isn't it? So what fats should we eat? Fats as they come from the hand of the Creator. Your nuts, your seeds, your avocados, your coconut oil, your olive oil. But isn't coconut oil bad? Who told you that? In the South Pacific Islands, they've been eating coconut 3 times a day for centuries. And when white man first went onto those islands, there was no disease. There was no depression. There was no Alzheimer's. And what were they eating 3 times a day? The coconut. And Dr. Bruce Fyfe, he's written 2 books showing that if you want to heal from mental illness, you use the coconut. Because the coconut in the liver breaks down to ketones, and ketones are neurohealers, neuroprotectors. I like to use science. I've given you a bit of science. I like to use history. I like to use common sense. I like to use the Bible. There's no coconut oil in the Bible because the Bible wasn't written in the South Pacific Islands. It was written where olive oil is grown. Do a study on olive oil and see what God thinks about olive oil. Wow, it's good stuff. Alzheimer's and dementia have increased since people have been on their fat-free diets. Now, I'm not suggesting you eat fast food. That's the oil that's dangerous. That's fried foods. That's the dangerous one. But that's a bit of common sense, isn't it? Water. Your brain's a hydroelectric system. No water, no electricity. You want that brain to be sparky? Drink more water. Start early. Start early so you can get your 8 glasses in over the day. Trust in divine power. I love the verse that was read this morning in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Isn't that a description of someone who's depressed? What does he say? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that what we want? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Oh, that's the remedy. That's the remedy. But what if someone's been abused? What if someone has been through a terrible, abusive relationship, abusive childhood? What do you do with that? Let's have a look. Because there are laws in the mind that show you how. The first law is the law of cause and effect. Effect follows cause with unvarying degree all through nature. God says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. But what if it was your parents? What if it was your uncle? What if it was the man next door who sowed the seeds? Do I have to reap it? Let's move on. The law of choice tells you how. The law of choice tells you how you can deal with these things. And the Bible is very clear. It's through forgiveness. And some may say to me, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. It's like the 18-year-old girl who was violently raped. She was raped at 16. She came to our health retreat. Her mother wanted me to give her counselling sessions. First counselling sessions, this girl sat in front of me like this. What does that tell you? Keep away from me. I said to her, you don't have to tell me what happened. As soon as I said that, she relaxed her arms. You know what the Bible says in Philippians? This one thing I can do, forgetting the things which are behind, praise God. I reach forth to the things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. She relaxed her arms. She said, I've told the story so many times. She said, it didn't even bring a tear to my eye now. You see, the third law states that your words affect your feelings. So if you've been through heartache, if you've been through abuse, if you keep relating that story, what's that going to do to your feelings? Isn't that going to bring it up and up and up? I'm not interested in digging up the graves. There's only dead, rotten stuff in there. So how can you walk away from that grave and stop digging it up? Through forgiveness. So this girl sat in front of me. She relaxed her arms when I said, you don't have to relate the story to me. She said, I've related it so many times it doesn't even bring a tear to my eye now. I could feel a bitterness in her voice. She was a very beautiful looking girl, but there was a bitterness there. So I started to talk to her about forgiving her abusers. She began to cry. No one had talked to her about this. Everyone was scared of going to this area. And for 2 years this girl had suffered. Her parents had spent a fortune on psychiatrists and psychologists. She started to cry. She hadn't cried for a long time. I talked to her about the power of forgiveness to cut the chains that bind us to painful past. Forgiveness gives you wings. It gives you healing. I read this in an old book. Forgiveness is the only prescription in the entire universe that has the power to break the chemical bonds of hostility, anger, and hate. She started to cry. I felt we'd spoken enough. The next day she asked to see me. This was not an interview booked by her mother. Of course her mother wanted to help her. She wanted to see me. She was smiling. Hadn't seen a smile yet. She sat down in front of me. She was excited. I said, yes. She said, I've decided to take your advice. She said, I've forgiven my abusers. Wow, I think there was electricity in that air. Praise be to God who can empower us. Her limbic system, her emotional system had been screaming at her, don't do it. They don't deserve it. And I agree. It's terrible what they did. Can you see there is no need to even discuss what they did? No need. You're just digging up the grave then and it stinks. She said, I now know that my healing is not dependent on my next psychiatrist. I now know my healing is not dependent on whether my abusers go to jail and they had such good lawyers, so far they hadn't. And if you're waiting for them to go to jail, and if you're waiting for them to say sorry and they don't say sorry and they don't go to jail, does that mean you never heal? You see, it's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on that at all. There's not much justice on this planet. I have just been accused wrongly, falsely. I've just been banned. I cannot speak in Australia again, ever, or I'll be put in jail for 12 months. It is so unjust. There are injustices If you want to look at injustices, just look what they did to Jesus. He'd done nothing wrong. Nothing. He was totally innocent. So sorry, don't expect justice. Sorry. She said, I now know my healing is not dependent on my boyfriend making me happy. Poor guy, he was trying, but he wasn't doing a good job. She was such a beautiful looking girl. He'd been attracted to her beauty. But oh dear, what he discovered was difficult. He wanted to leave, but he felt so guilty. He thought, if I leave, she'll probably take a life. She's already struggling with life. She's been struggling for 2 years. I saw this girl transformed. Totally transformed by the power of God. She let go of the anger, the bitterness. She now left it with God. Because God says in the Bible, vengeance is mine and I will repay and he'll do a better job. Leave it with him. Leave it with him. Leave it with him. Because if you decide to take things in your own hand and give to them what they've given to you, do you know what that law states? It's coming back. That's the law of cause and effect. The Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. What's the old saying? What goes round comes round. Life serves back in the coin you pay. Just let it go. What does the Bible say in Romans? Do good to those that hate you. Give them water, give them bread. Surely it will pour coals of fire on their head. Oh, those fires burn when you're kind to those that hate you. I saw this girl transformed. Do you know there was no need for any more consultation? Any more counseling? This girl walked with a spring in her step. Praise be to God. The battle had been fought in her room. Where was the battle? The limbic system said, don't do it. Prefrontal cortex, through the power of God, said, I can give you the power to do this. Every day, she got stronger and stronger. Some have forgiven and have said to me, but I don't feel like it. I said, that's all right. How could you possibly feel like it? This is terrible what's happened to you. Just do it because you will feel like it. Day after day after day, your body will adapt. Now this girl, let me show you what happened in her brain. She had a strong pathway. It says in the little book, Ministry of Healing, under the chapter Mind Cure, grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, all tend to break down the life forces and invite decay and death into the body. Ooh, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she shows, when you entertain negativity, grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, thorns grow between the dendrites. These are physical thorns, and these thorns can damage the tissues, all because of these bad emotions. Ooh. And that's what she'd been entertaining, and it was making her go down further and further. The last psychiatrist insisted that she be put on antidepressants. The good news is when she came to us, she'd only been on them a little while, and I said, you're doing so well, the choice is yours, but I do not think you need them. I also found a little bit of a hormonal imbalance, so she also started the AM cream. Can you see we're coming in at a few angles here? I also advise to be very cautious on your exposure to electromagnetic fields. Don't put that phone in that bra anymore. You can even buy a sports bra with a pocket for the phone. But you talk to breast surgeons, they're getting young girls with breast cancer in that pocket. Ooh. Where do you put it? In your bag. It's all right, men, you can have a man bag. Put it in your computer case. Be very careful. Never put your laptop on your lap. Protect the family jewels. Forgiveness is a very powerful thing. That's why when Peter came to Jesus and said, how often should we forgive? 7? He thought he was being very generous. What did Jesus say? 70 times 7. 490 times. In fact, you never stop. Because it's got nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not. It's the best selfish decision you will ever make. Who are you making it for? Yourself. You're making it for yourself. Forgiveness is a choice, and it's a prefrontal cortex decision. Love is also a choice. I'm so glad love is a choice. I had a young man say to me recently, I don't think love is a choice. I said, love is a choice. Love is a choice. You don't choose to love someone you don't like, do you? You choose to love someone you're attracted to. But attraction is not enough. How many marriages are falling apart? Two of our young therapists have got little children and their marriages have just fallen apart. They got together on attraction. They slept together too early. The children came. Yes. So sad. So sad. So what is love? What is love? God knows what love is, and he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. That's love. That is love. I love my husband very much. He treats me so well. So well. I see in him the attributes of 1 Corinthians 13. Young people, if you're courting, or if you're looking for a partner, memorize that. Memorize that. That's your criteria. That's your criteria. Attraction is not enough. I saw one couple. She was a very beautiful blonde. And she was 10 years younger than him, so he was very attracted. And my husband counseled him and said, she's a wild card, this one. There were four boys. 7 years later, she was born, and oh, she was the little princess in the home. She never had to do a thing. And whenever she didn't get her way, she threw a tantrum and everyone gave her what she wanted. And now she's in her 20s. Whoa, careful there. The tantrum seemed to be cute. It's not cute to me, but it is to some people. When they're 2, it is not cute when they're 25. We said, we're warning you. Please, investigate further. They got married quickly. We got an invite to the wedding and we refused. It's the only wedding we've never refused to go to. The parents of both were very upset that Michael and I didn't go to the wedding. 3 months later, the police were called to their home. She was beating him up and he was holding on because she didn't get her way and he was holding her hands and she called the police because her hands got a little bit of a mark on them from him holding them and the police came in and they ripped it into him and said, don't you treat your wife like that. What could that man say? If he said, but she was beating me up, they would have laughed. Because they're not used to women beating men up. They were divorced very soon after that. There was an attraction. That's all. And it got very, very, very messy. Very messy. God knows what love is. And so it's very important that the choice be made here. Your words affect your feelings, so be careful on your words. You've just been through a terrible experience and someone says, how was your experience? It was terrible. Then you go through every detail. Oh, you've just brought yourself down even further. Your words affect your feelings. How was your experience? Do you know it's getting better all the time? How do you feel once you've said that? You actually start to feel a little bit better. Be careful on your words. If you've been through heartache, don't relate it. Last Sabbath, a woman brought another woman to me. She was in her 40s. She'd been a sex slave. She was free now. She was in her 40s. And she brought her up to me and she immediately started to relate what the abuse when she was 9. I said, stop! Stop! Please, you just smile like an idiot. My husband's told me that. Stop! Please stop. Why am I telling you to stop? Because the more she relates it, the more thorns are growing and the more it's compounded to her. I said, stop. They both looked at me, very surprised. And then she said, my father's just arranged a holiday for the whole family in Hawaii, and he didn't invite me. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What else can you do? The Bible says, in everything give thanks. You don't have to go and be reminded. I don't know, you'll find roses there. You'll find roses there. Do you think she feels like praising the Lord? Her limbic system is saying, complain, complain, this is terrible. Prefrontal lobe says, be thankful. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but when you're thankful, you actually open the doors for God to work. Your words affect your feelings, so be very careful on your words. The Proverbs 29:11 says, the fool utters all his mind. Got that? But the wise man keeps it interlope till later. You see, the fourth law states that your words reveal your feelings, and you can't let them all out. You can't let them all out. But there's someone that you can tell everything to. Who's that? You've got a Savior. And in the little book, Steps to Christ, page 100, it says, keep your wants, your fears, your sorrows, your joys before God. You cannot burden Him. You cannot weary Him. He who numbers the hairs of your head is not indifferent to the wants of His children. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Take to Him everything that harasses the soul. Nothing is too great for Him to bear. He upholds worlds. He rules over the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for Him to notice. No chapter in our experience is too dark that He cannot read. No perplexity too difficult that He can unravel. No cheer joy, no sincere prayer escape the lips of which our Heavenly Father is unmindful and takes the most immediate notice. The relationship that exists between God and the soul is as clear and succinct as if there was not another soul on the planet to share His watch care, not another soul for whom He gave His beloved Son to die. Isn't that beautiful? Page 100 of the little book Steps to Christ. You can go to Him. You can cast all your care upon Him. He cares for you more than anyone on the planet. Your father abused you. Well, He's the father you never had. Your mother misunderstood you. He's the mother and father you never had. There He is. And remember, He's just waiting. Give it all to Him. But be careful on your words. Not only do they affect your feelings, they reveal your feelings, and they can't all come out. They can't all come out. When I had just got the news that my girls had been sexually abused, I had to smile all day long because they were my children. And they need to know that life is good. And I remember I went out to pay the bill, and the lady came to the counter, and I just burst into tears. Oh dear, I'm so sorry. She was lovely. She hugged me. We talked. I took a big breath. I went back into my house and smiled for my children. Do you think I felt like smiling? Sometimes you just got to smile, even though you don't feel like it. Living in an abusive relationship with a drug addict and an alcoholic, I was crying in bed one day. He'd been yelling at me, and my little boy William came in, and I learnt to smile through my tears, because if I smiled, he knew everything was all right. And I was like, it's all right. Did I feel like smiling? No, I did not. I did not. Your words reveal your feelings, so be very careful on your words. Some say it's your right to speak your mind. It's your obligation not to. The Bible says in Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. The fifth law is the law of adaptation. Be careful who you're with. Be careful what you're watching. Because the Bible says that we have a changeable brain. The Bible says our brain molds to the shape. For withal, with open face, beholding in the glass, are changed from glory to glory into the same image. It's by beholding. It's by beholding. Ellen White says, by beholding we become changed. So what are you beholding? What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? It will change you. They used to think our brain was set. But about 15 years ago, they discovered we have a changeable brain. It's called neuroplasticity. Have you heard about it? Or soft-wired? And God knew about it because it's in the Proverbs. Proverbs 13 verse 20 states that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed because of the law of adaptation. The other proverb is Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs 17:22 states, Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare for thy soul because of the law of adaptation. Because of the law of adaptation, our brain has the ability to grow, and our brain has the ability to shrink. So this young girl, we'll call her Sue, that came to me, who'd been violently raped, and we saw this amazing change. She had a very strong pathway of bitterness and anger and resentment in her pathways in her brain. And when I talked to her, and I told her about a loving Saviour who's able to give her the ability to forgive and leave with that Saviour the dealings of these men, she was able to use her prefrontal cortex to make a decision that she would forgive. And the first time she made a decision to forgive, the pathway's very weak. But every day she confirmed, I have forgiven, I have forgiven, I have forgiven. She stopped going down the resentment, bitterness pathway. And what happened to that pathway? It got thinner and thinner and thinner. It never goes. But it gets thinner. So now, if you were to ask her to give a talk about her experience, she will not go in any detail. There is no need to dig up those smelly, rotten graves, remember. Just enough has been said as what I have said. But most of the talk should be on the power of God to give us the ability to forgive. And she doesn't go down when the experience is related to her now because she's given it to her Saviour. He will deal with it. Life serves back in the coin you pay. Those men that did this will suffer. They will suffer all their lives unless they come to God. And if they come to God and ask for forgiveness, He will say, I forgive you and sin no more. But you will have to spend the rest of your life in jail. You see, there's a consequence, isn't there? There is a consequence. Revenge is not sweet. Revenge is bitter. And our emotional brain says us to go there. No need to go there. You can rewire your brain. In fact, the science shows that you can be rewiring your brain right up until the day you die. Remember the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Wrong, you can, because of the law of adaptation. So let me give you a terrible growing scenario. Let's say this girl didn't come to Misty. Let's say this girl continued to harbour those feelings of resentment, which she felt she had every right to, because she'd been so badly treated. The thorns are growing. And they're getting bigger and bigger. And she continues to go to psychiatrist after psychiatrist and relate the story again and again and again. And she goes on the medication. It helps for a while, but then she has to go on more medication. Can you see the end scenario? This girl's only 18. Is by the age of 40, is she in a psych hospital now? Phew. That's why God has given us the choice. Let it go. Leave it with Him. He is the judge. And there will be a judgment day. And they will have to answer to the great God of heaven. Leave it with Him. Leave it with Him. so you can rewire your brain. That's the wonderful growing scenario. You can rewire your brain. If a person chooses to entertain that negativity, the thorns grow, and the experience they had actually grows. Who would want that to be bigger? Well, the wonderful growing scenario is you can rewire your brain and you can get growth in another area. Another growing scenario is every time you learn something new, you grow another dendrite. Another dendrite, another dendrite, another dendrite, another dendrite, another dendrite. Every time you learn something new. And the three things that can cause new dendrites more than anything else are learning a musical instrument, learning a new language, and memorizing Bible. In that little book, Steps to Christ, page 90, it says, there is nothing more calculated to strengthen the intellect than the study of the scriptures. There is no other book so potent to elevate the thoughts, vitalize the faculties, than the broad ennobling truths of the Bible. If God's word were studied as it would be, as it should be, men would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, and a stability of purpose rarely seen today. You might think it's easy for me, but it is not. It takes me a long, long time. I go over it every day, every day, every day. Science shows it takes 21 days to establish a new pathway. It takes me about 21 days to really have that solid in my mind that I can now repeat it. So be patient. In fact, Clayton that played the piano, I'm sure he didn't start yesterday. Takes a while. Takes a while. Another growing scenario. So we've got new pathways. We've got new dendrites. In 1998, a group of scientists discovered brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And brain-derived neurotrophic factor stimulates neurogenesis. Neurogenesis is new brain cells. So if in times past you haven't treated the brain right, maybe in times past you've had drugs, alcohol, that have killed off the brain cells, God is so good. Because there is a protein called brain-derived neurotrophic factor that can grow new brain cells. And there are three shockers that'll do it. One is hot and colds. So our guest at the Lifestyle Center, you've got more brain-derived neurotrophic factor now. New brain cells. Whew, that's 30 seconds of cold. That's hard, isn't it? Well, next time you have a steam with cold water, just think about your new brain cells. So hot and colds. Finish every hot shower with a cold. You can be brief. If you're not used to it, start with a few seconds and build up. And you'll notice that it won't kill you. I believe the reason why I have been able to function all week and work all week, even though I've had this flu, is because of the hot and colds. I'm doing them in my shower at home. And I had a couple of steams this week. Oh yes, and I ate a lot of garlic. But I've been able to function. So one is the hot and colds. The other is the high intensity interval training. So this is intervals of very high intensity and intervals of recovery. That's a real shock to the system. And the third is fasting. So our guests have 2 days on fast. So brain-derived neurotrophic factor is being released. God has given a recipe. In the writings of Ellen White, he says 2 meals a day. Do you know science is now showing that time-restricted eating is, that's 2 meals a day. So that's 2 meals with a 6 hour apart. So that's an 18 hour fast. They're the three things that will stimulate neurogenesis. What about shrinking? What's a terrible shrinking scenario? If you don't use your brain cells, you will lose them. So we should be learning something new every day. What's the wonderful shrinking scenario? When we forgive everyone who's ever hurt us in our life, we turn painful past to dust. And when we turn painful past to dust, there's no bad smell to draw us down there anymore. Remember, we've stopped digging up graves. We're not digging them up anymore. We're letting them lie. And because you don't keep going to that graveyard, the pathway shrinks. Isn't that good news? And Dr. Carolyn Leaf shows us one more thing. Let's say each one of us here forgive everyone who's ever hurt us in our life today. Remember, it's a prefrontal cortex decision. You don't have to feel like it. You'll eventually feel like it. Just do it. Then we go to bed at night, tonight, maybe between the hours of 9 and 5. While we sleep, the brain's vacuum cleaner comes along and cleans up all the thorns. Science is now showing that forgiveness has a physiological effect to detox or clean out the brain. Isn't that good news? God is so good. What an amazing brain. There's a verse that I think refers a little bit to this, and it's found in Ezekiel 36:36. That's easy to remember. And it goes like this, that the heathen that the left round about might know that I, the Lord God, build the ruined places and plant again that which was desolate. For I, the Lord God, have spoken it and I will do it. Through the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, through the rewiring of the brain, new pathways can be built. The final law is the law of diversion. And the law of diversion states that when something is so firmly denied as to refuse any hope for it, the brain has the ability to divert to other pursuits. Don't you like this one? When God closes a door, what's the old saying? He opens a window. Well, in Italy, they say when God closes one door, he opens two. So when the door was closed for me that I can no longer work in Australia, well, there's a world bigger out here than Australia. Is that right? Much bigger. I could be still at home, mourning, and even getting myself into a depressed state because of the injustice that was done to me. I have a choice. God has given me the choice. Or I can say, okay, that's happening there. Where can we go now? I read a book called The Courage of Carol. And I read it when I was about 20, and it was about a young girl who lost a leg in a car accident at 16. Her parents were preachers. They were in another state. They came running into the room as soon as they had to fly there. They opened the door, and she looked at them with a smile and said, I wonder what God's got for me now, Dad. Wow! She'd lost a leg! Now, she had a choice. She could mourn the loss of her leg, or she could look at that leg and say, well, you're gone now. What do we do now? I worked with a man. He was helping me. He was the most helpful man when I was giving meetings in a little town in Australia, obviously over a year ago. He had one arm. His right arm was gone, and he was probably late 50s. He was my best helper. He was just going for it. So I said to him, how'd you lose your arm? He said, I lost it when I was 8. He said it was an accident on the farm. It got into an arbor or something. I said, really? He said, I was in hospital and I woke up the next morning and I looked at my arm and I thought to myself, well, I've got to start to learn to write with my left hand. So this go you saw right then back in there. When God closes a door, don't sit at the door and moan the loss of that closed door. Have a look around and see where he's opening doors. And that will do so much to lift your spirits. The 8 laws, physical laws of health, and the 7 mental laws of health, you can see that they come together. And I have found them to be a very effective method for overcoming depression. And remember what God said in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, he says, all ye who are labor and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Read those 4 epistles, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Read that beautiful book, The Desire of Ages. It's a book on the whole life of Jesus. And you will fall in love with this Saviour. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. And I promise you, you will find rest to your souls.